to all moving Ginsburg.
Good afternoon. Welcome, everybody. This is a wonderful attendance. And welcome to our meeting. It is now 1:30 PM on August 22nd, 2023. And time to reconvene a regular meeting of the Snohomish County PUD Board of Commissioners. I'm Rebecca Wolf, President of the Commission. Here is, to my right, Commissioner Sid Logan, Vice President, Commissioner Tony Olson, Secretary, John Harlow, CEO, General Manager at the Main Desk there, Colin Willenbrock, our General Counsel, Melissa Collins, to John's right, Commission and Executive Services Director, Allison Morrison, to my left, Clerk of the Board, Jenny Rich, Deputy Clerk of the Board, over by the sign-in table, and Morgan Stolzner, Deputy Clerk of the Board, our genius secretary. The written record will indicate others who are present. Please turn off or mute your cell phone or other electronic devices. Copies of the agenda are located on the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. Are there any items to be added or changes to be made to the published agenda?
I have none.
I have none.
Okay, comments from the public is item 3 on the agenda. And that is when the board will hear comments for items that are not listed on today's agenda. Comments will be limited to 5 minutes, and persons shall be recognized to speak from the sign-up cards located at the Deputy Clerk's table near the entrance. If joining by Zoom, please click raise hand or dial *9 on your phone, as if it's by phone. Attendees will be called on to speak at the appropriate time. This meeting is being recorded. When addressing the board during the meeting, please step up to the podium. Use a microphone, state and spell your name, and indicate where you're from. Please remain at the podium while you speak and address the commissioners, not the audience. If you have documents or other materials to enter into the record, hand them to the deputy clerk, Jenny over here, who will distribute them to the board. We appreciate your cooperation with our procedures. Please note that all motions receive an automatic silent second from the board. This ensures that all issues can be brought to the floor for discussion. Would you please join me for the flag salutes and Ken? I pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We are celebrating today our employee for the month of August, Linda Johns. I would like to introduce at this time Lisa Honeywell, who will introduce Linda Johns.
Thank you, Commissioner Wolf. Thank you, Chris. I'm excited to be here today to tell you a little bit, and the team, to tell you a little bit about Brenda. So I'm Lisa Honeywell, Interim Director of Communication, Business Readiness, and Marketing, standing in with Julie's retirement. But before then, I spent 8 years as Manager of Business Readiness and Training. So this is my team that is thrilled to be here to present to you one of our own. So with that, I'll introduce the other members of our team so they can go right into the introductions when we get there. So we have Jen Mullen, who's a Curriculum and Design Development Specialist. We have Carrie Trimble, a Senior Business Readiness and Training Coordinator. Taylor Ostrander, who's a Process Improvement Program Manager. And Chelsea Marzoff, who's a Senior Business Analyst. And of course, we'll introduce you now to Brenda. So Brenda started at the district on December 11th, 2015 as a Business Readiness and Training Coordinator. We were in the throes of the One Program, Phase 2, and we desperately needed training help. Brenda bravely came to the rescue. And almost 8 years later now, she's a Senior Business Readiness and Training Coordinator and is receiving this well-deserved recognition. And I'm fortunate to work with this great group of people and along with the Business Readiness and Training team to introduce you to our August Employee of the Month, Brenda. So let's just start with the B in Brenda, because Brenda is, of course, is brave, okay? Brenda actually is a bit of a daredevil, I would say. She scuba dives, skydives, rides Harleys, rocks climbs, works on classic cars, and generally does anything outdoors that most of us would be a bit frightened to do. A few years ago, Brenda noticed a prowler in the north employee parking lot from her cubicle window. She stopped working, raced downstairs, and went outside and scared the guy off, all 5'2" of her. So when it comes to work, Brenda often sees things differently. Brenda listens to others first and then bravely shares her view, even if it's contrary to the majority. The team benefits from her willingness to be brave and speak up.
All right, so Lisa's a lot taller than me. All right, so I'm lucky enough to get the R in Brenda for reliable. So when Brenda says she will take care of something, you know it will get done and done well. She never misses a meeting or deadline, and she consistently goes above and beyond in absolutely everything that she does. Brenda is an exemplary team player who can be counted on to jump in and assist colleagues whenever and however needed, and she doesn't wait to be asked. She consistently offers to help. I would be remiss if I didn't mention a few other R words. I have an English degree, I can't help it. A few other R words that aptly describe Brenda. In addition to being reliable, Brenda is resourceful, resilient, real, receptive, reflective, and totally remarkable. BR&T is lucky to have Brenda on our team, and we are thrilled that she is receiving this recognition.
The E is for expert in all things related to employee education. Brenda is an expert in Learning Central. She works with many departments to not only build their training content into the system, but also work with groups and to determine which employees need what training, how often, and then she creates curriculums and assignment profiles based on an individual specific job. Brenda is the powerhouse behind the scenes of Learning Central. She has set up many complex programs, such as Data University, a number of the safety and substation related curriculums, in addition to managing many training programs, like the Foreman and Training Program, Leadership Training, Project Management, Time Management, the list goes on and on. Brenda is truly an expert in what she does.
Here comes trouble.
I don't even need this microphone. But so I have the privilege of N, which is for network. So Brenda's roots lie deep throughout the district and Snohomish County. She consistently acts as the conduit between many departments, notably substation, safety, line, analytics, and more. She is sought out regularly to identify the right contact or person for the job. Not only is this true around the district, but also in her personal life. For example, she saved the day for my family when she donned her superhero cape on and to provide a referral to save our bathroom renovation, which was an absolute disaster. And if it wasn't for her, like, we'd still have leaks and everything else going on crazy. But that's really a story for a different time if you want to hear it. We're all very lucky to be a part of Brenda's network.
Okay, I have the D. The D is for detective. So
detective
we...
or defective?
Thank you for asking.
I apologize.
Detective. Brenda is known as Detective Brenda in our team. Brenda approaches every problem, big or small, with tenacity and grace. She jumps in to analyze complex problems and uses her past experience and knowledge to approach every problem with detail and care. She follows up every issue with amazing customer service, a succinct summary, and a solution so that we can avoid future issues. We are grateful to have Detective Brenda on the case.
And in the absence of our final team member, Alya Nachuba, who is in Kenya with his family, I will take on the final letter, A, which of course is for awesome. As we wrap up with the final letter in Brenda's name, there is nothing more to say other than in every way, Brenda is amazingly awesome. Brenda brings her best self to work each day. Nothing less than 110% is acceptable. As the first employee of the BRNT team, Brenda is the go-to for the how and why we do things. She is open to new ideas and is a great team player. The district is lucky to have Brenda, and congratulations to her on being August Employee of the Month.
Brenda, would you come forward, please?
Yes, I'm here facing the crowd.
Here I am.
Hi.
5'2".
You are. Heels on today.
A dynamo.
Yes.
Yeah, if we could all just maybe come together.
Looking right here.
Together.
We're looking great.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Wow. Yeah, I can't believe the breadth of what you do. And I've been a curriculum designer, so someday I hope to chat with you about. You start with the end in mind?
Absolutely. Yes. What is the goal?
All right.
You want me to go next? Well, first of all, we have a glamour photo for you.
Oh, yes.
So, you know, after hearing that you were brave, R word, there's four R words, I think. Reliable.
Reliable.
Detective, expert, and networker. It's not surprising here that you're awesome. So thank you so much for it. So important. Yeah,
thank you very much.
And you chose
sweatshirt.
Brenda, this is near and dear to my heart. That's one of the reasons I ran for commissioner, was recognition and investment in the employees. And the training programs and opportunities that we have today far exceeding. See anything I could ever dreamed of. I mean, it is phenomenal. And you and others play a key role in that. And you have a lot of involvement in employees, and
absolutely.
They look forward to okay.
The
I'm just checking. Well, anyway, this is what I'm about. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
In French, we say bonne continuation. Keep going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love what I do. Thank you all very much.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It.
Congratulations. Next time, I hope you grab a security guard and go ahead and park a lot.
Thank you, Lisa and Tina, for all that you've done and presented for bringing her to us. Well, we'll now have the General Manager's Life Saving Award in a moment after the people who will be meeting you. Harlow now is talk about the Life Saving Award, which relates to the Linwood Lime group. And
Commissioner Wolf, I think we're introducing Keith Gallup.
I'm getting there. I'd like to introduce Keith Ellison, who will introduce the Linwood Lime.
I can take this, you're more than. That's a hard act to follow. I didn't bring slides or.
Well, we want to hear what you got to say.
Well, great. I got a great one for you. I'm Keith Ellison. I'm the superintendent in the Linwood office. And well, as luck would have it, this is the second time this year that I've had the pleasure of coming down and acknowledging some employees with you guys. So. The guys really don't like the acknowledgement or anything like that. So I promised them I'll make it as short, as sweet as possible. We're here to honor four of the district's Linwood employees. Further quick actions that potentially averted a tragic outcome for a house fire that was down in Briar towards the end of June. Two linemen, Kellen Bowman and Trey Harris. Trey Harris was acting foreman that day. Oh, well, come on up, guys.
They don't need to come up if they don't want to. There's a lot of them here, and I don't know.
All right.
Raise your hand.
Those four need to come up.
Come on. We got a matching shirt. So we had Trey Harris, who was acting foreman that day, Kellen Bowman, who is off this week and not able to make it. Justin Atkinson is one of our entry helpers who has just recently been selected for the new apprenticeship class for this year. And one of our current apprentices, Anthony Hogstad, who was working in Linwood at the time but is now up in Arlington. So the makeshift crew for that day was working on a pedestal replacement. And I'm going to say this right up front, it had nothing to do with the fire, which was the first question I asked. But the crew saw and smelled some smoke coming from the garage of a nearby house. Trey called 911, and Justin and the rest of the crew ran over and started banging on the door. It was an elderly couple's house. The gentleman was taking an afternoon nap, so they rapped on the door loud enough to get him up and awake. And then he, in turn, was able to get his wife up and out of the house. They're both very hard of hearing, it sounds like. And the woman uses a walker. So with the notice that they were able to give him, they were able to get up and out of the house. According to the South County Fire Guys, in addition to likely saving lives, the crew's early reporting greatly limited the property damage and kept it isolated to the garage and didn't let it spread to the rest of the house. The crew's already been commended by the South County Fire. We spent an afternoon down at the city of Briar City Hall, and they got acknowledged down there, got a coin from the assistant chief, which was pretty cool. And then next month, they're actually getting the life-saving award at the Governor Safety Conference over in Spokane.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm really proud of the guys. I've come to expect nothing less from them, but I applaud their outstanding efforts to make a positive difference in the community, and especially during this potential emergency. So congratulations, guys.
Did they get some goodies?
Wax.
Oh, okay.
Unless you have something else, we don't. Great. Congratulations.
I just want to say that to me, it's a wonderful thing to see some of our younger incoming, up and coming new recruits.
Very well.
And thank you so much for what you do, and we're very proud of you. And we expect nothing less.
Nothing less. Thanks again.
Yeah, just very super proud of you all jumping into action. Didn't hesitate. Again, this is just resemblance of the quality of folks that we have across the district. And as Keith said, he's been here earlier this year, a number of occasions where we've had employees come before the board to get recognized for their life-saving events. And it's just, again, a testament to the quality of people that we have. And again, super proud of what you've done.
Thank you.
Thank you. We're now going to move on to comments from the public. And we'll wait just a little bit until the chairs out. Is there anybody working in the line?
No, I'm just here to be here to support.
Okay. All right, thank you.
It's good to see you this morning. We have really good attendance today, and we have 7 people who are going to give comment. So in just a few moments, we'll spread that.
Yep.
those are two very inspiring parts for meeting today. Very inspiring. I'd like to now invite Mr. Stephen Keeler to the microphone to give comment.
My name is Stephen Keeler, last name spelling K-E-E-L-E-R. I'm a resident of Athens, Washington. Two items, commissioners, and good afternoon to you. I just received my current copy of my bill and the Wire newsletter. And in the Wire, it was good to read about the taking off of Connect Up. It's interesting to follow that program. And I'd also, from the Wire, like to thank Mr. and Mrs. Morrison, who has to deal with BPA. And she has my sincere thanks for that job and the work she does. And perhaps I should offer her some condolences too. Now, with the bill, I've had these for several months now, and I've been meaning to talk to you about my bill, the new look. I like it. The front side is lots of white space, big printing. It's all about what my bill is and not much else. If you're interested in the technicals, you can flip it over and read the technicals, but I would imagine a lot of people don't care about that, rather how much they owe and what their account number is. So to the individuals, the group, the team that redesigned the bill, I'd say thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for mentioning that. I'd like to now invite Susanna McCarthy. Come up. Welcome, Susanna.
Thank you. Thank you for seeing the A in my name. So I am Susanna McCarthy. I live in Everett. Do you need my address?
No, just general.
Everett. Okay, good enough. All right. And what I'm here for is just to say I'm hoping that the Snohomish PUD withdraws from the Northwest River Partners. And that what, $153,750 goes to that annually. And I've been upset by some of the materials put out by the Northwest River Partners, and specifically their advertisements last fall about the damage that would be done if the Lower Snake River dams were removed. It just sounded like a lot of erroneous information, and there it was, big time, over and over and over and over. And so I went to their website last night and just looked at what are they all about. And I won't go through the whole website, but the things that were right on their front page is we educate the public and policymakers about the importance of the role of hydroelectricity. Okay. We partner with our members. First thing they mention is Native American tribes. Communities and agencies. I'm thinking their networking with the Native American tribes has kind of fallen apart because they are very much for maintaining those dams. And Native American tribes are saying, you know, we need our salmon. We need the salmon to feed the orca. We need the salmon for all kinds of reasons. And so I just find that a little ingenuous. We support research and analytics so the region can reach informed decisions. It just seems that their research is really very selective and that there are just many things that they're ignoring and that they're not really presenting a very balanced view, which is their last point. We engage in public processes to provide balanced insights and suggestions. I'm thinking not so much. That they're really very one-sided and don't seem collaborative. And this is really a big problem. There are so many different aspects of life that are involved in the dam, the water, and it needs conversation, not polarization. And so I just looked at their principles, represent our members with integrity and respect. Okay, that could be, I don't know. Include perspectives of the diverse communities of the Pacific Northwest, again. Seek holistic solutions that consider both people and the environment. I don't hear that. And explore collaborative, actionable answers to challenging issues. I don't hear that. I just looked at their 1 minute video online, and it's very, to see fires, and it's like, what if hydropower stopped immediately? And what would happen to us, you know? And if 50% of all of our energy would be gone in a day. Well, we're talking about four dams. We're talking about 3,000 megawatts. We're not talking about the whole 3,940 megawatts across the country that are going to be removed. And then they're saying, you know, if this if the dams are removed, we're going to have to replace them with coal. It's like, how can you be researching and say that coal is the best alternative if we need more energy? I just really don't see them as keeping up to their primary objectives. And I hope that me as a ratepayer, are able to withdraw from the Pacific Northwest River Partners. That's what I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Leanne Shea, would you please join us? Welcome, Leanne.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Hi. Goodbye.
Yeah, it does. My name is Leanne Shea. I am currently living in Marysville as of 2017. I'm a military brat, moved all over everywhere, settled in the Northwest in 1966 when I went to the nursing school at the University of Washington. But I had started becoming an environmentalist before then. I was seeing folk music and singing about acid rain. Those were in the days when we used to use our rivers as sewers for the industries, and we dumped our garbage out in the oceans. Global warming has been happening for over 100 years, and we're now in the 11th hour, and this has me gravely concerned. And to that end, I'm very concerned about the Lower Snake River, because those dams are now becoming destructive to the environment. And I think that our decisions, both individually, collectively, need to be prioritized upon what is sustainable by our environment. Those of you in positions of authority and responsibility have an added burden, because you speak for us. And so for me, I speak for the fish that are going to die in these warming waters, and the orcas that may starve because they don't have fish, and for the tribal nations who again we seem to be sabotaging their treaty. These are important issues to me and have been for 60 years. Apparently not enough of us were listening in the 60s to avert the damage that may be happening now. 5,000 fires in Canada alone, and our air now so polluted we can't really spend much time outside. So this is really critical for me, and I think these dams need to go away. They're no longer viable. There are other alternatives to the electricity. I, for one, have 22 solar panels on my house. And you actually are buying energy from me of over $1,000 a year, because I make more than what I use. So there are other options and alternatives. I'm grateful hydroelectric does not pollute our air and add to the warming, but it is harming the environment, and that is important. And so in addition to Susanna, I would like to not see you support the Northwest Rivers, because they are counterproductive to the mission that they claim, therefore. Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you very much. We appreciate your comments. Shelley Mortensen. Welcome, Shelley.
Thank you. You're just inviting me. My name is Shelley Mortensen, last name spelled M-O-R-T-I-N-S-O-N. The reason I spell it usually gets misspelled, because it's from my Danish grandfather and it's supposed to have an E. As I said, I live in Marysville. I've just followed two very articulate speakers. I don't know that I have a lot to add, except I also urge you to end your partnership with the Northwest River Partners, who want to keep the dams in place and the status quo. But, you know, there are alternatives to power. There are alternatives to getting agricultural products to market. And by the information I have, much of it is already going by barge to Portland and Astoria, I believe. There's no alternative to the salmon. There's no alternative to our orca. And we are in danger of losing them. And when they're gone, they're gone. So it's not going to be easy. It's going to take a lot of resources to get rid of those dams. But I think we owe it to the salmon and to the orca and to our indigenous peoples. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Shelley. Ray Harker. Welcome.
Hi, I'm Ray Harker. I'm from Marysville. I'm mainly wanting to talk about opposition to the funding that is going to the Northwest Rivers Partners. It's something I've been very passionate about for a long time. I would hope that you could put that same money to use for solar panels in our system here. It's a better usage than the dams that are being used on the Snake River. I don't really have a lot more to say about it, but I know that this money could do some good here with our solar panel systems. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Harker. I'd like to call Nancy Johnson, please.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for allowing us to speak today. My name is Nancy Johnson, J-O-H-N-S-O-N. I'm from Edmonds, and I co-chair the Snohomish and Island County Sierra Club Group, which we have over 2,000 members in Snohomish and Island Counties. I grew up in, and I'm continuing the theme, I grew up in Central Washington in a family that farmed, fished, and hiked. When I was five, my father took me to see Celilo Falls before it was submerged by the construction of the Dalles Dam. Later, he explained that we took that trip because it was his concern that the dam would be the end of an era for that rich tribal fishery and the village of Celilo. He was right. Even he didn't predict the rapid and alarming declines in the numbers of salmon, steelhead, and lamprey in the Snake and Columbia Rivers. The threat of extinction is real. Upstream from the lower Snake River dams lies the best remaining salmon and steelhead habitat in the continental U.S. But access to and from those cool and high altitude rivers and streams is severely impacted by the cumulative danger of passing those dams. Restoration of a free flowing lower Snake River is essential for Northwest tribal nations. It enhances their opportunities for cultural, subsistence, and commercial fishing, and honors the treaty obligations of the United States. The 60 tribal nations of the Affiliated Tribes of Northwest Indians recently passed a resolution supporting removing the lower four Snake River dams and strengthening local communities by investing in energy, transportation, agriculture, technology, and other infrastructure projects. And I'd also like to point out that studies have shown that the energy loss from these dams is replaceable. And that's not just one study, that's a number of studies. It is confusing to see that the Snohomish County Public Utility District, which was a sponsor of the 2023 Northwest Tribal Clean Energy Summit, while also paying over $150,000 as membership to Northwest River Partners, which actively campaigns against dam removal, including, as was mentioned previously, by misinformation. I ask that the PUD cancel its membership in Northwest River Partners and support tribal nations. And if you cannot do that, I think the public needs to know why not. Thank you.
Thank you, Nancy. Are there any other comments from the public on items not on the agenda? Okay.
It's not online.
Okay.
I submitted a card. I don't know.
Oh, let's see. Nancy, Ray Parker, Shelley Mortensen, Don Miller.
How'd that be me?
Well, Don, I'm sorry. Oh, so sorry. We thought we'd
Everybody
All right.
Yeah, welcome back.
Yeah, good afternoon, commissioners. My name is Don Miller. I'm from Arlington, Washington. Before that, I grew up on a farm in Eastern Oregon, a wheat farm. So I know wheat. We paid a lot of money to our local PUD for the electricity we used to pump our irrigation water. And I know salmon, not because I caught salmon, but because each year we were blessed by our tribal neighbors that gave their most valued gift to us when the fish were running. What I wanted to speak to you today was about the impacts from Snohomish County PUD decisions that extend beyond our local county. The recent assistance you provided Guam after their hurricane was an inspirational example of that, and we heard of you know, several others today, and they, you know, they are ongoing. As one of the Northwest's major power consumers, Snohomish County PUD's decisions can have hard, long-reaching effects. How your decisions affect equity is important, specifically because of equity. The Snake River dams have been a topic of discussion in the Northwest for decades. After 50 years, we now know that they have had a tremendous effect on our salmon and fisheries and on tribal rights. And that effect is disproportionate compared to other dams in the Columbia Basin. Earnest efforts are being made at the state level and at the federal level to find equitable solutions. Replacement of the 1,000 average megawatts that these dams produce is not unprecedented. In 2020, three coal plants were retired in the Northwest, and the output from those three were less than these dams. Snohomish County PUD's involvement in the multi-million dollar propaganda that is portrayed by Northwest River Partners has effects far beyond our county. And the involvement does not reflect the thoughtfulness and innovation that you've displayed in Guam and so many other projects. No one is looking for leaders when there's no decisions to be made. But I think here we do have a decision that should be made. We need you as leaders and this membership. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I just want to say that we appreciate the public's engagement in the issues that we deal with. So thank you all. We can't respond during this time period, but you're invited to continue keeping in touch with us. Okay. Now we're going to move on to the consent agenda, and you're welcome to stay here for the rest of the meeting. And we're going to approve the minutes for the regular meeting of our last meeting, August 8th. We're going to talk about our bid awards, professional services contracts, and amendments. And consideration of certification and ratification and approval of district checks and vouchers. I'd like to call for a motion.
I move approval.
Are there any comments from the public regarding the consent agenda?
There are none.
Commissioner Olson, do you have any questions or comments on the consent agenda?
Just quickly.
Can you give me,
oh sure, 20 seconds here, I'm trying to remember.
For those who might not know, that means these are the things that we need to pay. These are the bills that we need to pay. That's what the consent agenda is.
I have no questions, Commissioner.
Okay.
Oh, I have none.
Oh, you have none, Commissioner Logan?
Yes, I have a question. On the 28 MVA power transformer, I read the reasons but the bid's not compliant. And I'm just wondering, in the transformer shortage, can we afford to not purchase transformers so we can guard towards the meters?
Clark Line Start Contracts and Purchasing. It sounds like you were in the meeting that we had this morning trying to ascertain how we can buy transformers in this market and get what we need and deal with some of the real challenges in the market with manufacturing and some of our bid laws and things like that. So the answer to the question is we're proceeding as quickly as possible to solution to buy these transformers. And we'll have more information and an update as soon as we hammer all that out.
I'm curious if any of these bids had been acceptable, when would we be able to take delivery? I'm curious how.
These transformers are at best 18 months away, and in some cases, 2 or 3 years away.
Okay.
And I also had that question. It's related. My question is related. Do you expect more problems related to acquiring needed power transformers?
I've been doing this for 30 years, and I'm very cynical about the processes. So yes, I would say I continue to expect problems in acquiring.
So what is our status now regarding where we are? And if that makes sense, like, are we in big trouble, little trouble? How much trouble?
Mark, do you want to answer the question how much trouble we're in here?
Oh, you get the heart.
Yeah. I'm Mark Owens, Senior Manager of Substation Metering and Telecom. We maintain system spares on our hard stand. We currently have 3 on the hard stand right now. We're doing some other work, so we'll have some more out there as well. We don't get rid of our old ones. Right now, we're keeping those for a time period until we can get some of the new ones in so that we have an emergency basis. And we have new ones out there as well so that we can, you know, do system upgrades and for emergency basis.
So we don't need to panic?
Don't need to panic yet, no.
Okay. So we're doing some recycling, right? Reusing?
Oh, yes. Well, so what happens is
reusing,
that we...
Reusing, not recycling.
Yeah, what happens is we take substations out of service and replace, put a new transformer in there. We bring those back to our hard stand, and we're keeping a certain number of those on our hard stand as an emergency basis. It's when our new ones come in, then we'll start recycling those old ones. We don't. It's not like we can just recycle the old transformer and reuse it. When we take them out of service, they're at the end of their useful life, and so they're really on an emergency basis.
Well, I commend you for trying to get the most life and possible out of those transformers. Did you have a comment, Mr. I also have, thank you. I also had a question about the contract with Granite Construction. What were the barriers to bidding in the RFP process, if you can say?
I presume you're talking about the need to rebid this?
Mm-hmm. I was wondering if they were related to the different state and federal funding sources, all of that complicated, you know, getting grants and all of the paperwork that goes with that.
The difficulties that caused us not to get bids the first time was based just on the design that our consultant had done for us.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the contractors just found it limiting to their construction processes, and so we went back and the consultant to redo the design on that so that we got some successful bids this time.
Thank you. And then I had a question about the 236th Street conduit installation at the I-5 bridge crossing. Is that we're going to go underground under I-5 for that job? So it's $1,287,000.
This is an acceptance for a contract that's been completed.
The work has been done.
The work has been done.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Yeah. Didn't read closely enough on that one.
My limited technical understanding of that is the conduit was attached to a current DOT bridge.
Okay.
This one has been in the works for some time now.
Thank you. I apologize. I didn't realize it had already happened. So, are there any other questions?
No questions. Comment.
So Somebody mentioned standards with the MBA transformers. Hope we're not going to get too creative with that. I don't want an answer. When I hear standards, they're there for a reason.
Right.
Commissioner Olson, do you have any comments?
No, I don't have any more questions.
Okay, in that case, I'll call for the vote. Mr. Olson?
Aye.
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 And I vote aye. The motion is passed. Now, under items for individual consideration, we're going to talk about the 2024 budget, notice of public hearing, and I'll call for a motion.
I move approval of the proposed notice of public hearing as presented in the packet for the 2024 proposed budget.
Sarah Vaughn is available to answer questions. Sarah? Is Sarah Vaughn here? Oh, hi, Sarah. Does anyone have questions? Commissioner Olson?
No.
Do you have any?
I don't have any questions.
Okay. I guess we don't have questions. I don't
There's
have
no questions.
Well, I do have one. There was a comment that said if actual consumption in July exceeded the budget. So why were the energy retail sales lower than budget? I don't quite get that. But then I don't do what you do.
Commissioner, well, this is the proposed budget hearing. This is in the budget report in the
towards the end of
thank you. I'll postpone that question until we look at the actual. Thank you. Okay.
So. And there's no questions from the public.
Okay. No questions from the public. And I'll call for a vote. Mr. Olson?
Aye.
Aye.
And I vote aye. Now consider a resolution amending district water utility policies and establishing certain charges for the water utility. I'll call for the motion. A motion.
I move to approve item 5B, consideration of a resolution.
Commission.
Is to remove.
Exactly, to remove.
I move to remove.
Want to start over?
This was the resolution that was tabled a few meetings ago.
I'm removing it from the table. Thank you.
Yes.
We will start over again. Proposed motion. I move to remove item 5B, consideration of a resolution amending district water utility policies and establishing certain charges of water utility from the table for consideration. This item was tabled at the January 10, 2023 regular meeting, subject to allowing staff additional time to clarify some stakeholder comments and to bring this matter forward for action at a future commission meeting.
Grant Wood is available to answer any questions regarding this resolution. Do you have any comments or questions?
There's no comments from the public.
Oh, thank you. And do you have any comments or questions?
No, just thank you for all the work. I know it's a big lift, and
yes.
I really appreciate working with our customers and the challenges that are in it. So thank you so much.
Yeah, and the changes of that manual that you've put together is enormous. And we appreciate all the work on that too. So, are there any other questions or comments from the commission?
I have some.
So I'll call for the vote. How do you vote?
Aye.
Aye.
And I vote aye. The motion is passed. Consideration of a resolution amending district water utility policies and establishing certain charges for the water utility. We'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Okay. Grant Wood is here again, available to answer any questions about this resolution. Are there any comments from the public regarding this resolution?
There are none.
Okay. Commissioner Olson, do you have any questions?
I have no questions.
No, just to repeat the same thing I said last time. Thank you so much for getting this done.
Yeah.
Big job.
Yeah, I really appreciate the huge amount of work that went into this. Are there any other questions or comments from the commissioners? So I'll call for the vote. Please vote aye or nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The motion is passed. We will now consider a resolution authorizing the CEO, General Manager of Public Utility District Number 1 of Snohomish County to execute Amendment Number 3 to an interlocal agreement with Snohomish County regarding weatherization of low-income residences. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Jeff Feinberg, is Jeff here? Jeff Feinberg?
He's available online.
Okay. Jeff Feinberg is available. If you have any questions about this resolution, do you have any comments from the public regarding this resolution?
We do not.
Commissioner Olson?
I have no questions.
Any questions or comments?
No, we were thoroughly briefed on this in the previous conversation.
Right. And I have no questions or other comments, except that I think it's an interesting and important resolution. Are there any other questions or comments from the commissioners?
I have none.
I have none.
I'll call for a vote. Please vote aye or nay.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. The resolution is approved. We'll now consider a resolution declaring a portion of the Hat Island Submarine Cable Project to be special facilities for the purposes of RCW 39.04.28. I'll call for a motion.
I move approval.
Mark Fleury is available to answer any questions regarding the resolution. Commissioner Olson, do you have any questions?
I have none. We were briefed on August the 8th by this recommendation.
Yeah, I just want to echo that. We had a very in-depth conversation and understand why the need classified this as special facility.
Yes, I appreciated the presentation at our last meeting with good diagrams and everything of why we're doing what we're doing. So, are there any other questions or comments from the commissioners?
I have none.
Okay. I'll call for a vote. Commissioner Olson?
Aye.
Aye.
Commissioner Logan? I vote aye as well. The resolution is approved. We'll now move on to part 6, the CEO General Manager's Report.
Thank you, Commissioner. We have a couple items to share. First, I have our customer service group. The district experienced our first chance to execute the summer heat moratorium this past week. Customer service operations monitored the National Weather Service alerts and halted all disconnections for non-payment Monday through Thursday. Everything went very well, and it was encouraging to successfully execute the plan and support our customers' safety and comfort. Connect Up letters have produced an increase in call volumes and emails, but no major concerns, as most customers are just curious for additional information around timing for when they get their meter exchanged in their neighborhoods. And in our energy services group, the energy project portal roadmap development and project kickoff work are underway, and we're targeting October for the soft launch of that program. And then in my world, I attended the NERC Members Representative Committee meetings last week in Ottawa, Canada. All went very well. Certainly a lot of things in the NERC world, North American reliability, and some good conversations in that forum. And then yesterday, Brenda White and myself had the opportunity to meet with City of Everett Mayor Cassie Franklin and couple members of her team. Great conversation. First meeting that we had in person with Cassie for a couple of years, so it was great to reconnect in person and continue to build that relationship. And that is all. Happy to answer any questions.
For the benefit of the public, could you mention what NERC is?
North American Electric Reliability Corporation.
Okay, now we'll move on to commission business and commission reports. Mr. Olson, do you have any
report? I have no report.
I'm not report as much, but I want to talk about that. I think recently, Commissioner, you had an opportunity to meet with the mayor of Maryville, which is wonderful. And I wanted to have a conversation because pre-pandemic, we had a system where we would meet with mayors in our area. So I think you met with the mayor of Edmonds, I met with the mayor of Everett. So I'm wondering, are we no longer doing that when we go to a meeting like that? Or I think actually, John, it was you and your team that made that suggestion.
Yeah, on commissioners attending those meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's generally the practice that we want to continue. I think we had talked Brenda and I talked, if you're referring to the meeting that we just had with Mayor Franklin?
Or no, I'm talking about a meeting we had with Mayor Nary, with Mayor Wolf.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. And who represents, or which of the commissioners?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, that's the commissioner's choice on how you want to do that. But I know for a while, the practice was whoever the commissioner was in that area, right, that was their territory, for lack of a better word, that's who would attend. But again, at the end of the day, that's up to you all to figure out what works best or what you would prefer.
Do you have any comments, Commissioner Wilson, about this question?
Well, technically, when I've been involved, it's only been in my district.
And do you have other
towns in my district?
Well, no, it was in my district, and pre-pandemic, I think I would have gone, because that's what we have been doing.
Okay.
And then nobody was going anywhere, so.
Well, I would like to comment.
Yeah.
Were you possibly on vacation? Because.
No.
Okay, well, I would like to say that, yes, we are voted on in the primary in our district, but we vote and we work for the whole county. And I don't think there should be a complaint or a problem if we go to another district. I recently had the opportunity to go to Warm Beach, and I'll talk about that later. But I don't know how it happened, but I was delighted to go to Marysville and see what's happening up there. And see the wonderful new building, the new city hall, and the wonderful park that you can see, and the beautiful mobile that was created for the building. I mean, it was a wonderful visit. And I think there's value in getting out of our home territory and going to other places.
Would our commissioners want to consider rotating? When an opportunity comes up, we rotate.
In our own area or in all areas?
Obviously, within the service area. Just raising it. I was trying to think of it.
I'm just bringing up that we had a plan, and we were executing that plan. And I just want to have the conversation with the three of us. I'm thrilled you have an opportunity to meet with Mayor Nary and understand what's going on in Marysville.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have been there, and it's in my district. So that's what I'm bringing up.
Right. And I think maybe some people might not understand that no two commissioners are supposed to be together under the Open Public Meetings Act without an official announcement. And so it would have been nice if both of us could have been there, somehow, but we weren't. And I serve Edmonds, Linwood, Briar, part of Mecklenburg, and so forth. And it's the smallest in square mileage, but the population is about the same as your two territories, which are enormous. And so you have a lot more towns and communities in your territories. So I just think I don't know how we want to work it out, but I think it's good to get out of our hometown and get to know people elsewhere. I think it broadens our outlook and helps us think about our decisions as we vote. So I don't know, that's just,
yeah, I will just.
Staff needs to know what we want to do.
Yeah, I'm good with whatever. I think Commissioner Logan's point is pre-pandemic, and at least the couple of years that I was in this role, actually when we had started the process to get out and meet with each of the mayors, the process was that the board representative or the commissioner from that district would attend the meeting. I think you attended the one in Edmonds and the one in Mecklenburg.
Right. No, not Mecklenburg.
Okay.
Marysville.
No, I mean pre-pandemic.
Oh, pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that was the process that we used.
Okay.
And then we did alter on that in this most recent visit to Mayor Nary in Marysville.
Right.
Yeah. I'm okay with whatever you all think is best. We probably ought to have a process. Just give us the direction, and we'll make sure that we follow that at your guidance.
Maybe you could put the question out to all three of us that who would like to attend, and then we could see who wants to attend, and then we could decide.
You're talking about those meetings. Well, I have, for a number of years, it has been,
And that is, you're very clear on that, Commissioner Wolf, that we do run in our districts, and then in the general, we serve the entire county. However, I have been used to a commissioner covering their particular district. You know, that's what I've done for a number of years. And what I will often do is I will pass, and because if I don't have a, I'm not available or whatever, I pass it on to another commissioner.
So I appreciate that about you.
So I am used to what Commissioner Logan is used to. And I can understand where, I'm not going to be helpful at all. I can understand where Commissioner Wolf, the density of her area and our districts are divided by population, that she does have fewer municipalities,
right,
than Commissioner Logan and I do. So that's why I was thinking of rotation.
I guess I'd like for us to come up with a solution that is sort of open, and if there is an opportunity, just put it out there and say who would like to go, and then if the person who typically is from that region wants to go, then that person could perhaps have priority. But if that person cannot or doesn't want to.
You're making this a nightmare for the clerk.
I think that would be very difficult. And also just remember, if we open it up to who would like to go, if there's more than one commissioner who wants to attend, then that's noted. That would have to be a special.
I know. Well, if you can, I don't have the solution. But one of the things I ran on when I ran for commissioner was more public engagement countywide. And I think that that's really important. And so I appreciate every opportunity to get out and meet people. And so that's just where I stand.
I just don't think it would be appropriate to put it back in the clerk's hand to decide who is.
Well, I don't want to do that either.
Yeah.
You already are overburdened.
Well, I think if I heard what you said, what Commissioner Olson said about in the past, I think we'd offer it to the person who's district that is, and if that person can't or is unable to do it, then you go to another. That works.
Yeah, that's fine with me.
I concur with that.
That's fine. Okay, now, report. Did I already ask if you have any reports, Commissioner?
I have none.
I just started that 10-minute conversation based on that question, but I have no more reports, but
okay.
Thank you, Commissioner.
So I have a couple of things to report. First of all, I attended PPC, that's Public Power Council, in person in early, see when was it, was just before I went to New York, wait a minute, about the 8th and 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there. And then came home and did the PNUC meeting. That's, help me out, Pacific Northwest Utility Conference Council, PNUCC. And I attended that virtually, as I believe maybe you did too, Commissioner.
I did, yeah.
And you did too, perhaps. And then after that, safety days. We had a very cold and rainy safety days. So you had the worst.
Oh my gosh, I had, yeah, it was a big crowd.
We were really cold, and I didn't have proper warm clothing, so I had my fish and chips and went home early. Confession. But I did check out quite a few of the tables and had a long, very interesting meeting with a woman about Alzheimer's and related, because I've known people recently, you know, who have contracted or declined because of memory issues. That was a really excellent conversation. So that was safety days. And finally, I was invited up to Warm Beach to talk to the Christian Advocates group. And mainly they had heard a lot about the PUD from Commissioner Logan. And so they just wanted to hear about how a French and English teacher ended up in an energy commission. And so, you know, I was able to talk about what motivated me, and that was really fun. And then I got a tour around the whole property in a golf cart. And that was fun and interesting. Wonderful people. I just had the most wonderful conversations with people up there. And some of the people who are retired and live in that facility have awesome, amazing backgrounds. The Galloping Gourmet, what's his name, Graham Carr. He lives there. And I talked to a man who used to own Skagit Gardens up in Mount Vernon, and just some amazing people. So I was really happy to meet these people. So those are my reports. So no more reports. Okay. So we'll now move on to the commissioner event calendar. Commissioner Olson, do you have any changes to the calendar?
No.
No.
I don't know.
Okay. And I don't think I do either. I will now move to the Treasury budget, the 2023 Treasury budget forecast and major project status report for July. Sarah Bond is available to answer questions regarding the report. Commissioner Olson, do you have any questions or comments on the Treasury budget forecast and major project status report?
I don't.
Do you have any? Commissioner Logan?
I do. I spent a lot of time on it, and I really appreciate the awful level of detail, but I don't have any questions.
Well, I will say it's really nice to have this status report project by project for the big project. So
really
thank you for having that in there.
So my earlier question was, why were energy sales lower than budget if the consumption was higher? Maybe that's just something over my head.
I think Scott can come up, but I do believe that's likely something in the unbilled category, but
I'm
a lot smarter than that.
It's about timing.
So it's a very good question. And the answer is a lot more complicated and nuanced than I can summarize in 60 seconds, but let me try to give a high level answer. We are booking revenue like most utilities. We book revenue when it's billed, and then we also try to make an adjustment for that revenue based on what's been used but not yet billed, because it's revenue that we've earned. We just haven't had to get it through the system yet. What generally happens during the course of the year, without doing the deep dive into the rabbit hole of this, that number will ebb and flow a little bit through the year, and it has some trend lines that we look at over history that are driven by a variety of things. It's driven by the lag in meter reading or not. It's driven by weather at the end of a month versus the same month in the prior year or the prior month. It's driven by a lot of different things. So what you'll find is we will do some subtle true-ups in that throughout the year, and at the end of the year we'll do a really good calculation of it and make sure that the annual revenue is really tight before the audit comes in. And so you'll see that our revenue number is maybe a 1.5% low relative to budget. Load might be a 2 or 3% above budget. Those few percentage points that they track, it's usually an unbilled revenue calculation that comes in. I will tell you, we're debating and leaning in the direction of not doing those adjustments during the course of the year and only doing them at the end of the year. So starting next year, what we might do is just let it flow as billed and not worry about these complicated adjustments, and then do those adjustments only at the end of the year so that we can make sure we true up the end of the year. That I hope will streamline the comparisons a little bit. Right,
that
now
will it might avoid questions.
Yes, but unfortunately, it's one of those somewhat complicated accounting nuances a lot of utilities have to deal with, and it does kick out some strange movements in the comparison sometimes. And I don't have a better answer for you other than thankfully it's small numbers up and down. They aren't big numbers, but it's a question we anticipate having to answer occasionally, and today was the day.
Thank you very
sure,
much.
Sure, of course.
At the end of the year in August?
Well, let's hope. That's our goal.
You guys are the other changes to the managers.
Do you have a budget report?
I skipped ahead, but your pardon.
Run page 12.
Yeah, I looked at the performance indicator dashboard. All right. All right, so are there any other questions or comments from the commissioners about the 2023 Treasury budget forecast and major project status?
I have no questions.
Okay, so we'll move on to the July 2023 district performance dashboard, which is a tool that the PUD creates to help us see how everything is measuring out throughout the year. Commissioner Olson, do you have any questions or comments?
I have none.
Yes, I do. So on the first page, the safety statistics, it asks the question, we reduce the number of injuries. And you can sort of tell in one graph that maybe not in the other in the vehicle we are. But I'm curious, where's like the industry average? Or I'm trying to look for some perspective on these numbers. I know we want it to be zero, but.
Yeah, we can get you that information. It's actually, it's measured in what's called an OSHA recordable injury rate.
Okay.
And we just track on this report the number of injuries. We do track the OSHA recordable injury rate, and we keep that as part of our safety metrics. But we can give you that number and then compare it to what the industry average and top quartile and such numbers are.
And great work on the reducing it.
I appreciate the people who put this together.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Every other month, I can't remember, I should be on that. Maybe every month.
Every month.
Okay. And I, so do I, but I do call that drawing comparisons in this area and others is kind of difficult to do.
It is.
Because it depends on what you put into it. And your definition of.
Yeah, the definition is pretty clear on what's an OSHA recordable, but state by state, there's different reporting and/or work comp rules and things that guide some of the data. It's a data point that we can use and certainly look at trends, if not against the industry, our own performance. And I will make a comment to follow up to Commissioner Logan. Actually, vehicle accidents is one of the areas that we have had the most opportunity. So we are starting to renew our focus on vehicle accidents.
I know we've had some trainings for like backing up and things like that, which seems to be one of our areas of weakness, or it was in the past.
Yes.
Our big, massive trucks.
Even our smaller vehicles.
Even our smaller ones, yeah. Even cars.
And I have to believe that ConnectUp will help us with that. I mean, as I drive around the county, I see some of the places that meter readers have to park, right? Not necessarily a designated place to park, just based on the situation the meters are reading. So I can imagine that we're putting ourselves
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll
just by the nature of that work.
Yeah, we'll reduce the miles driven and vehicles that are out there for sure.
Yeah.
Thank you. Is there any further business to come before the board?
Yeah, we have the children's plan.
Oh my goodness, I skipped right over our next. Mr. Olson, do you have any changes to the meter?
No.
Mr. Logan?
I know, but Commissioner Olson, I think you wanted to move the compensation philosophy to September 19th.
Right, yeah. Is it on?
It's actually not on.
On there.
On the 5th.
But to show it, yes, on September 19th, yes.
I was thinking it was two weeks ahead, but you think the 5th, not?
It's the 5th is what staff was proposing for the Commissioner.
I'd ask for a delay to the following.
The 19th, so a whole month.
Yeah. Okay, so that'll change this calendar, and you'll see that in your next packet. You'll show the change from the 5th. Did you It doesn't go on the Fridays for our working calendar. It doesn't go on the governance planning calendar. The one resolutions that come back only go on the planning calendar. So it will be on the 19th, but we spoke at lunch. There's no motion needed.
Okay, so on September 19th, we'll be voting on approving the new massive project that was done by our human resources department to come up with new standards for salaries and promotions and all of that kind of thing.
Well, you'll be voting on the philosophy and mostly the structure.
Philosophy and structure. It is a resolution though, isn't it? Okay, it is a resolution on the philosophy and the structure. Thank you for that. All right, is there any I don't have any other changes. We do have our tour of the Jackson Hydro Project coming up on, I think, the 24th. And is there any
This month? Have this month?
No.
Yes, this Thursday. Oh, not going to go anyway. Is that in the fair? Oh, she's going to work at the fair. Going to sell cotton candy?
I don't know. Probably meet a lot of retirees. I like to go the first day because that's when they show up.
Is there any further business to come before the board?
I have none.
Hearing none, it is now 2:46 p.m. and the meeting is now adjourned.